The following programming is sponsored by Carol Captus Holloway. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
How is everybody? I am so happy to be back to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. I just came back from a glorious vacation in New Orleans, and let me tell you, what a great place to visit. We missed the hurricane. We were lucky. Had beautiful weather while we were there, but I missed all of you and being able to talk to everyone and tell you all that was going on. So let's get today's show started. We are live right here on WWDB in the studio on Facebook. You can send me questions on Instagram. You can send me questions. We are live on their website, and we are also live on the radio at 860 AM as well as Odyssey. So thank you for listening. I really did miss all you guys. 2 weeks in a row, I missed my show. So if you heard a repeat, I know it was definitely something good. So what are we talking about today? We have two things coming up. In our medical minutes, we're going to be talking about the latest in diabetes monitoring and how you can monitor yourself instead of pricking yourself with a needle all the time to get your glucose levels. So that's going to be exciting. So for anybody that has diabetes or might have it in their family, you definitely want to listen to that segment. But while I was away, I was able to pre-record an interview. And this one is really cool because back on September 23rd to the 29th, it was National Rail Safety Week. And because I was literally on an airplane, I could not talk to anybody. So we pre-recorded our interview, and it's just to bring awareness to everybody about railroad tracks, because more than 60% of vehicle train collisions happen at active crossings with gates or with signals. People actually go around them. I know when I was younger, I did it. When I didn't see a train coming in, it was just starting to go down. And it takes a train traveling 55 miles per hour over a mile to stop. That's quite a bit of distance that they have to cover. So I have a great expert here, John Phelps, Vice President and Chief Safety Officer of Norfolk Southern. And he's here to give you, our listeners, some critical safety reminders on the proper ways to navigate railroad tracks in your area. And he's going to talk to us about some life-saving tips and things that we can and shouldn't do and all of that good stuff. John Phelps is the VP and Chief Safety Officer of Norfolk Southern Corporation. He was appointed in 2023 and joined Norfolk Southern as the engineering management trainee in 2006. And he is responsible for leading the company's operations culture with safety processes, laser focused on injury and incident reduction. Prior to his role, he previously held progressively more responsible leadership roles, including the AVP Transportation, AVP Engineering Maintenance of Ways and Structures, and Chief Engineer. And he did earn a bachelor's degree in civil engineering from Vanderbilt University. So it's always nice to give you guys a little bit of a background. And then after we talk to John, I have some additional safety tips. Like, you would think this is general knowledge that people should know what to do crossing safety tracks, railroad tracks, you know, trying to navigate them. But, you know, when I look at the state of our country these days, I'm just wondering how many more stupid people are out there, or just uncaring people, or not paying attention to anything. So we're going to go over those safety tips, but let's bring John on board and welcome him to the show. John, I am delighted to have you here to talk about railroad safety. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great during National Rail Safety Week. There's a week for everything, but this one is particularly important because I understand that 60% of railroad crossings have collisions that occur because of crossing equipment, gates, lights, people error, yes,
Yeah, so at a grade crossing, when we have an accident that either involves a trespasser or a vehicle, somebody in a car, 60% of those accidents occur at crossings that actually have those active warning devices. So that's the flashers, that's the gates, that's the lights that come down. And I think that can give people a false sense of security that because this crossing has lights, I'm okay. But truly, that's where most accidents do occur.
Wow. So, and people still don't heed the warning signs of crossings, which is, it just amazes me.
Right.
What do people know about railroad tracks that they might not be aware of?
Sure. So Rail Safety Week is all about getting the message out, the simple message that if you see tracks, think train. That means just because you can't see one immediately doesn't mean that you can let your guard down. Trains can be in a location very quickly, and often they get there quietly. The message is stay away from the railroad tracks, don't stop a vehicle on the tracks, and teach your kids, teach your family, talk to your students, talk to your friends at church about that message. Get it out there. Don't let your guard down around the tracks.
So you say that most incidents on the railroad tracks are preventable.
That's correct. So we work every single day to enhance the safety of our operations. But a really important piece of that is working with the public. You know, trains take over a mile to stop. And if they can see you, it's usually too late. They're not going to be able to hit the brakes and get stopped in time. So we rely on people out in the communities that we operate through to just understand the risks and to respect the power and the momentum of a train to stay in the clear, whether that's walking from your house to go to the convenience store or you're on your daily commute going across the tracks that you've crossed 100 times before, that you always respect the danger around the tracks. Don't use it as your way to get from A to B, and never park on the tracks while you're stopped in traffic.
You know, John, I really hope this information falls on sound ears, but I feel like a lot of people are deaf to that because they're in a hurry, they're trying to cross the tracks, they're late to work or an appointment or something, and they still do it. So what are 5 life-saving tips that you can give to our listeners?
So never try to beat a train at a crossing. And it sounds funny, but it's amazing how many folks take a risk with their lives and often the lives of the people that are in the car with them to try and save them a couple of minutes. If you see the lights flashing or you hear the sound of the horn, that's a sign to hit the brakes, be patient, and let that train get by safely. If you're on foot, you got kids, you got students, talk to them about the importance of never walking on the tracks. One of the tragic incidents that occur every day, students, people with headphones in, and technology has got so good at canceling out noise, it can cancel out the noise of a train horn. And folks who are walking down the middle of the track with their back to a train can't hear it coming until it's too late.
Wow. That, you know, we don't think about that stuff, especially with the noise-canceling headphones. What about somebody who is just approaching a crossing, there's no signal going on yet, the guardrails haven't gone down, and they're just getting ready to cross, and those guardrails come down or the lights start flashing just as they're getting ready to cross? Do they back up or do they speed forward?
Always tap the brakes. Look left, look right every time you approach a crossing. If you approach a crossing that's considered passive, which means it just has the sign with that quintessential X that everyone knows, those are called crossbucks, that you treat that just like the way you taught your kids to cross the street. Stop, look, and listen. Take heed of the risk and always be sure that there is nothing coming before you work your way across the tracks. If you see those gates start to come down, that's not a sign to speed up. That's a sign to hit the brakes.
To hit the brakes and back off if you've just started approaching.
Correct.
Okay, because you've seen incidences where vehicles get stuck on tracks. So then what do you do?
Right, you get out and you get in the clear.
Get in the clear.
One important thing that people can understand about railroad crossings is every single crossing has a little sign. It's called the ENS sign. It's blue. And there's a phone number on there, and there's an ID number that helps identify that very specific, unique crossing. So if someone does get stuck on the tracks or you see an emergency situation, you can go call that number. That's going to connect you with the railroad and give them the ID number that's on that sign, and that will help them understand exactly where you are so they can take responsive action. If there is a train coming, they can work to get it stopped.
So no matter what that issue is with that trek, whether it's a stuck vehicle or a truck, or it's just constantly blinking and it won't stop or something like that, you call that number that's right there at the railroad track.
That's correct.
Awesome. What about our area? There's, you know, states, different states rank for different railroad safety here in Pennsylvania. How good are we at minding the rules of the tracks?
So Pennsylvania is one of the most, we'll call it historic states with tons and tons of railroad history. A lot of railroads got their start in Pennsylvania. You think about the game Monopoly, the Reading Railroad that everyone's heard of. That's right there in your state. Philly is loaded with railroad crossings. The citizens of the state, you know, you guys are safe. You understand the risk, but it's also something that we can never take for granted and never assume we got this. Heed the risk, heed the warnings, talk about it with your family, and never put yourself in a position where you could have a regret later on. It takes every one of us to ensure that safety is paramount when you're around the railroad tracks.
John, are there some states that have like a really high fatality? Or, you know, I kind of think of maybe the Midwestern states where there's no buildings, nothing going on, and people just take it for granted to cross the tracks. I'm just taking a guess here. But are there some states or any particular states that have a super high rate of fatalities?
It's pretty uniform across the country. Generally, the more crossings that exist, the more railroad tracks that there are, and the greater the population density, the more opportunity there is for something to go wrong. But whether you're out in the middle of North Dakota or in downtown Philadelphia, the risks are the same. And unfortunately, accidents and deaths occur at every location under every circumstance. It's just another reason you can never assume that it's not going to be you today.
Okay. And I know over the past couple of years, there's been a lot of fatalities with brakes on trains not working properly, or just one person on the train, so there's not enough control. Have those things been addressed?
Yeah, I think there's some misunderstanding generally about how trains function. Trains are not allowed to ever leave or depart from where they originate without 100% operative brakes on the train. And brakes, they function really well. The system has been in place really since trains started running 150 years ago. We use air and it's incredibly effective. But what makes trains efficient is they use momentum to move. Trains are big, they're heavy, they take a really a large amount of energy to stop. That's why they're efficient. But at the same time, that's one of the risks that is associated with grade crossings. That train sees you, it's not going to be able to get stopped in time.
Definitely, especially at the speed that they're going. Where can our listeners go, John, for more information?
Great question. So Operation Lifesaver is a nonprofit that works to raise awareness about safety around the railroad tracks. If you go to oli.org, you can find a ton of great information. They have videos. They have content that you could take into a classroom. You could use to have a conversation around the dinner table. Their mission is public safety around the tracks.
Awesome. Well, thank you for bringing awareness to this situation, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Carol.
You got it, John. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I just want everybody to know that 1 mile is equivalent to 18 football fields. That's how long it takes for a freight train to stop, or a passenger train, any train for that matter. So a couple little tips for people, just some information, you know, might come in handy on Jeopardy or something like that. Freight trains don't have a fixed schedule. They run on a schedule that's based on what they're hauling and where they're coming from. There's no fixed schedule, unlike passenger trains that always or should have a fixed schedule. So when you're crossing tracks, expect a train. Like, just be aware. And all tracks, this was really interesting, are private property. Our private property. So never walk on tracks. You know, it's actually illegal and it's considered trespassing, and as well as being highly dangerous. I never knew that. I was really amazed when I did some of my research on this. The other thing that is really important that is for us to know is that trains have the right of way 100% of the time. over pedestrians, vehicles, including police and emergency vehicles. So it's never, ever, ever the train's fault. So that's really important. And trains can move on any track in either direction at any times. So sometimes its cars are pushed by locomotives instead of being pulled, which is especially true in commuter and light rail passenger service. And trains are quieter and moving faster these days, faster than we think. Only trains belong on tracks, not us. We shouldn't be walking on them whatsoever. And I think, that was all really good information that John gave us. But it's really important that we understand that lives are lost every day. And that's why it's so important that we mind the rules of the road. We make sure that we are doing the best safety that we can do. Just please, I know it's hard because even my husband and I walked along the streetcar tracks this past week while we were in New Orleans. Now that has two directions. It doesn't switch directions as far as we know, but we saw people running along the tracks, of course, facing any streetcars that would be coming towards them. And, you know, because I had done this interview with John before I went to New Orleans, actually, it was like right before I left and then was getting on a plane. I didn't think to ask him about streetcars because they're running on tracks too. So walking on tracks, playing near tracks, any of that is not safe. So I'm just trying to bring a part of that public awareness campaign to everybody so that they know exactly, you know, what you can and can't do. And remember, you're trespassing. And I never really thought about that. If you want to know the statistics, there are track statistics. According to the current Federal Railroad Administration, which is known as the FRA data, it can show you highway rail grade crossing collisions and pedestrian trespassing on tracks, together with over 95% of all the railroad facilities. We can get the stats by state, which is really interesting. And he did say that Pennsylvania was really, really good. We're 14th with only 54 collisions in, let's see, updated from August 15th of 2024. And I thought that was pretty good. We only had four deaths on our railroad tracks. One. Pennsylvania only had one death on their railroad tracks and 22 injuries. So we ranked 14th in the state. Now, let me just pull up, if I can, real quick. New Jersey was number 25. They had 35 collisions on their tracks with no deaths at all and seven injuries. So there is definitely some stuff there that we should pay attention to. Delaware was not on the list, but just remember that in the United States, 84% of all of the 2023, from the year 2023, highway rail grade crossing collisions occurred in the top 14 states, with Pennsylvania and New Jersey being among that list. And the state that had the most was, just so everybody knows, for collisions, the top three states, in case you're traveling there, and right now it's kind of hard to travel down towards Georgia, but Texas was number one, California was number two, and Georgia was number three for collisions, deaths, and injuries. So very important information. Now, North Carolina fell 15th right under Pennsylvania, and I think that state is in so much need of repair right now because of the hurricane that we are not going to see transportation moving as quickly as it needs to be. And while I'm talking about North Carolina and Tennessee and all the areas down south, our hearts go out to everyone from Hurricane Helene. And please know that the government is doing everything it can. FEMA is doing everything it can to help. Please do not believe the Republican lies or should I say the Trump lies that are out there, do your homework, do your research. You can go right to FEMA, for those of you that can't spell, F-E-M-A, FEMA, and I'm just being facetious here. But for those of you that want the facts, please go there. Our government jumped in immediately. Biden and Harris have been doing everything they can along with FEMA. There's a rumor going around that people in the state of North Carolina are only getting $750 a person to help them. No, pay attention. Biden said, when somebody asked Biden, is that they're only getting $750 or something to the effect of, are you going to do anything else? Are you going to give them anything else? Biden's reply was, no, we have money planned. So if you go and read the reports on the government page, on the FEMA page, they're sending a $750 stipend just to carry people over while they're settling somewhere or to buy the essentials that they need. The government has not left them stranded. So please, people, please go to proper websites for your information. Don't believe the crap that you're reading on the internet and the memes and all the other stuff that is going on. Go to the proper website so you have your information. Our hearts go out to all the states that have been affected, and especially now that Milton, Hurricane Milton, is a Category 5, we're going to have more devastation in Central and South America. So more like Mexico and Cancun are going to get that. So ask me a question. Do I believe there's climate change going on? Yes, I do. So with that being said, let me take, I can get back off my soapbox now till we get to the next interview. With that being said, we have a couple good things coming up on our next shows. I wanted to let you know that we're going to be spending a lot of time both on Home Improvement, Fix and Facts, and Tell Me More, talking about cybersecurity. It is running rampant right now. It is really, really bad. And I just want to remind everybody of the things that you can do. So we have a couple really good interviews coming up about cybersecurity. I know we've done them before, but I have more information that's really going to help everybody to understand a little bit more about what they can do. I also wanted to remind everybody that it is Breast Cancer and Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, so we're going to be bringing you some great segments, and I'm really hoping to have, I know we have some interviews coming up, but I'm really hoping to be able to bring Unite for Her back on like we did last year to talk about what they're doing and the progress that they have made. And then another thing that we're going to be talking about is the energy tax credits that are going on, the energy tax credits that are going on with the government in our area that has affected the economy locally. So those are a couple really good shows. And with that being said, let me take a quick commercial break. We're going to do Medical Minutes just a little bit early. And then we're going to talk about what's going on in diabetes and talk about that a little bit more. And then I'll fill you in on some other great things that are happening here at, here we go. Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We're going to commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets,
our house. Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Today on Medical Minutes, we're going to talk how Medicare has expanded coverage on continuous glucose monitors to help us all that have diabetes manage it. Joining us will be Dr. Mahmood Kasimi, I'm sorry if I got your name wrong, and Fran. Dr. Kasimi is the Chief Medical Officer at Abbott's Diabetes Care and a senior patient living with diabetes. And he'll be here to give us the breakdown on managing our diabetes. So that's really important. And Fran is a patient who had to deal with her diabetes and how to get that under control. So I am excited to welcome them both to the show today to talk about what we can do to best manage our diabetes. Hi, how are you both doing today?
Just fine.
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is such an important topic with over 40 million Americans suffering from diabetes. It's really important that we understand what is the best way to management. There are nearly half of the people that have diabetes have type 2 that are 65 and older. So I would like to know what you can tell us about how we get that under control.
So there's many challenges living with diabetes. First of all, it's a complex health condition that affects how the body converts fuel into energy. And this relies on the hormone insulin. So in diabetes, there's either that the body's not producing enough insulin or that the insulin it is producing is not being used efficiently. And unfortunately, many of the symptoms of diabetes can be mistaken for those of normal aging, things like worsening vision or having to go to the bathroom more frequently. So one important aspect of this is to make sure that you're being screened for diabetes by talking to your healthcare provider and also realizing that there are now technologies like continuous glucose monitors that can certainly impact the quality of life for someone living with diabetes.
So Dr. Kasimi, can anybody use a continuous glucose monitor?
So it's a great question in the sense that there are two different types of diabetes in general, type 1 and type 2, and they essentially are related to what I was mentioning just before, whether the body produces any insulin, in the case of type 1 it does not, or whether it does produce insulin but it can't be used efficiently, which is the case with type 2. Type 2 is definitely the more common type in the U.S. overall, about 90% of cases of diabetes are type 2, and that is also the one that we most commonly associate with individuals as they age, although people can also develop type 1 diabetes as they get older, so it's not exclusive to that scenario. But to get to your question about whether you need to monitor, you do need to monitor regardless of your type of diabetes, and that's why having a continuous glucose monitor is so important as part of diabetes
management. Exactly how does this monitor work? Like, how do they actually help us?
So a continuous glucose monitor is a technology that's been available for about 20 years now, but unfortunately only about 10% of people living with diabetes are actually using them currently. And these technologies, like the Freestyle Libre family of products, are small sensors that you place on the back of your arm in general. They're, in the case of the Libre 3 sensor, it's the size of two stacked pennies. So it's very small and discreet. And then the sensor will be measuring the glucose values for the person with diabetes and relaying them to either an app on a smartphone or a reader, depending on the person's preference. And then the individual can use this information to make better choices regarding diet, activity, medications, and can also share with their healthcare provider.
So Dr. Kasimi, sugar actually affects our glucose whenever we eat it, no matter what kind of sugar?
So in fact, it's not so much that one is more likely to be controlled with diet or with drugs. In fact, essentially their diet and activity play a role in managing any form of diabetes. It doesn't matter which one it is. And medication also has a role. So essentially what I would say is that the choices around diet, activity, and medication are three choices that are essential to the management of any form of diabetes, not one or the other.
So, Fran, you've had experience with diabetes and the continuous glucose monitor, otherwise known as a CGM. Can you share this information with our listeners on what you did and how it helped you?
Well, when I was diagnosed with diabetes, like so many people my age, I was in denial. But part of that denial was because I really couldn't feel what was happening to me. Now that I have a CGM, it's been life-changing because I get the knowledge from it that helps me make the good choices. The knowledge really pushes the format as far as you know, what I'm able to tell from my CGM, if I'm in target range, if I've eaten something maybe that has been a bad choice, and then, you know, follow that with, well, what do I do about it? If I do make a bad choice, how do I handle it? That becomes my choice as an individual to go out and walk or drink water. Those smart choices are made by me, but because of my CGM.
Fran, you said target range. What do you mean by that?
There's a certain range that I try to keep my activities, my glucose levels in. Mine happens to be like between 80 and 180. And, you know, I might eat something that would send it up to 220. And I recognize that after time, you know, my mind can make the connection between, oh, I had maple syrup. Look, it went up to 225. That's the kind of information that I get from my CGM. It gives me a number. And if I go out of that range, I work hard to bring it back down into the range where I feel safe.
So, Fran, is there anything else besides sugar that affects your diabetes glucose levels?
Well, sugar, but carbs can do it too. It's not just a sugar thing. Everything you eat, every meal you eat, every snack you eat, it changes the level of your glucose. So my CGM keeps me aware of what those levels are. And, you know, it's so easy to do. You don't do it in the middle of a grocery store. You can just pull out. You don't take a finger stick in the middle of a grocery store. You actually just pull out your phone and there it is.
So it sounds like this monitor is really easy to use. Dr. Kissimmee, what changes have there been in Medicare that make it better for seniors, make it easier for them to live with diabetes? And can everybody use the GCM? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, that's right. So in April of 2023, there was a change in the Medicare eligibility criteria for use of continuous glucose monitors. They're now covered for Medicare recipients who are on any form of insulin therapy or who have problematic low glucose levels. And this means that there's about 2 million individuals on Medicare who are eligible for these technologies now, but unfortunately less than half of them and their healthcare providers are aware of that. And that's part of the reason why Fran and I are here today is to help spread the word. So, Fran, does it surprise you at all that so many people are not aware?
It doesn't surprise me at all that people with diabetes and even their healthcare workers don't know that CGMs are covered by Medicare. People see my CGM on my arm all the time and ask me about it. The knowledge that it gives me is powerful, and I use that knowledge every day to make those choices. I also encourage people, please talk to your doctor. Find out if you're eligible.
So, doctor, not all GCMs are created equally. So what are the benefits of using this one, the Abbott's Libre monitor?
Go ahead. Frank.
That's the one that I use as well.
Yeah, so that one in particular, the Libre 3 platform, for example, has the smallest sensor size that's currently available. And the other benefits of the system are that there's no requirements for finger stick calibration at all. And in fact, it can also be used in anywhere from age 2 and above at this point in time, and its wear duration can be up to 15 days. So these are unique advantages of the Libre 3 system in particular here. It's available in the U.S.
Dr. Kissimmee, I have a lot of questions. You know, there's a lot of people that are borderline diabetic right now, and their insurance companies aren't covering them. When you have something that's borderline, they'll say, no, you have to have diabetes in order to be covered. And I wonder why our healthcare system doesn't take or do preventative care when someone is borderline to keep them from getting diabetes. So would a CGM help?
Well, so we're getting more and more evidence that use of CGM can be helpful at any point in the diabetes spectrum, even in the situation that you're describing. We're developing more and more evidence that it can also be a useful adjunct before the actual diagnosis of diabetes to help modify activity and diet. So for those individuals at this point in time who, for example, don't have a formal diagnosis of diabetes, we do have other options on the Abbott side that have recently become available. So for example, our Lingo family of devices now does have a glucose monitor available that can be used by anyone. It doesn't matter if they have diabetes or not. That is now also available in the U.S.
Wow, that's good to know. That's really good information. Where can our listeners go to get additional information about the coverage and with GCMs, particularly like the Libre?
So they can certainly check with their Medicare plan. For those who are in Medicare, the Medicare plan should be able to review with them what's available to them. And for those who are eligible, these technologies should be available to little to no monthly cost. Also, we have a website called myfreestyle.com that individuals can access to determine if they're eligible.
I'm so glad you brought this to our attention and let us know that these are covered by Medicare. And like I said, at the top of the hour, with 40 million people having diabetes, this is a really big concern. So thank you both, Dr. Kissimmee and Fran, for sharing your stories and great information.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Take care. So it's important that we take care of our health, and so many things can lead to diabetes. And I will tell you that after I take a quick commercial break. But I just wanted everybody to know that we live in such a crazy society because there, as in talking to Dr. Kissimmee, it's really strange that healthcare insurance companies won't allow us to do pre-healthcare to keep diabetes when we're pre-diabetic to make us better. They won't give us the medications that we need to get better ahead of time. They want to wait till you're a full-blown out diabetic in order to give you medications that will make you better or help it along. The monitors are free, as you heard, under our Medicare plan. But I'm not, if you've listened to my show, I'm not a great big fan with medications. So when you come back, I'm going to go over some information from the American Diabetes Association to help you with small changes to make a difference in your life so that therefore maybe we don't have to go on medication at all. You're listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, and we will be right back.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/Philly Siding. That's lpcorp.com/Philly Siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets, our house.
Self-esteem and vertigo, 'cause she thinks she's made of candy. Hey, ho, here she goes.
We all love, love, love candy.
If you missed that segment on diabetes monitors and the part with our railway safety, please go back and listen to the podcast right here at WWDB. It'll be up later today or by tomorrow morning. So what's really important, according to the American Diabetes Association, there's a lot of small changes that we can make in our personal life that can lead to big results. Small changes can help prevent or delay diabetes, even if you're diagnosed with pre-diabetes. And going to see your doctor and trying to create a plan and set goals are the things that will definitely work for you. It's so important that you recognize that there are things that you can do, lifestyle changes that will work without going to medication first. But medication is an important part that really does help people. If you are overweight or obese, diabetes can impact your risk of developing type 2 diabetes more than the average person. It can lead to unhealthy cholesterol, high blood pressure, heart disease, high blood glucose, and even stroke. So just by losing 10 to 15 pounds can start to make a difference in your life if you are overweight or obese. The more weight you lose, the healthier you get, and the more in line your statistics get with your high blood pressure, your glucose, and your unhealthy cholesterol. So that's a great place to start without medication. Another thing that you can do is if you are a smoker, smoking reduces the amount of oxygen that we need for our organs. That's what sustains us as human beings. And it can cause high blood pressure as well. It can also cause unhealthy cholesterol, heart attacks, and strokes. So if you can stop smoking, start to reduce your smoking. It's really one thing to reduce it, but you really do need to quit. There are lots of tips online to help you. I know there's gums and all kinds of things, but reducing smoking not only will improve your health, but will also improve your pocketbook. Because like the last time I checked, a pack of cigarettes was like 10 bucks a pack. So I could be wrong. I don't know. High blood pressure is another thing. A lot of people have high blood pressure. Do you even know what your average blood pressure is? If you don't, you should definitely get it checked out. That's something that you need to know. It affects nearly 1 in 3 adult Americans. And sometimes you do need medication to get high blood pressure under control, but that also comes through your eating process as well. Stress is a problem that so many of us have. And, you know, I keep joking around that if Trump gets back into the presidency, I'm going to need to go to therapy to keep my stress levels down. And I mean that. I have to say, I pray to God he doesn't get in because of all the lies. And I worry about the people of our country, especially lower income and middle class people and what we're going to have to deal with. But anyway, I could feel my high blood pressure boiling just I don't really have high blood pressure, but I can feel it rise, I should say, just at the sound of the man's voice. And I am sure I am not alone, but high blood pressure is something that you definitely need to pay attention to. And then researchers are exploring the link between type 2 diabetes and certain cancers that are out there. And some of those risks could be, you know, with that link between cancer and type 2 diabetes could be factors such as age, gender, ethnicity, and lifestyle factors. So if you feel that you need to know more, please go to the American Diabetes Association and get more information. It's all right there for you. It is a legitimate website. And nutrition and fitness and knowledge, knowing what your risk is, are some of the most important things that you can do. Just walking, if you don't do any exercise, just a little bit of walking per day, increasing it down to the mailbox and back, you know, down to the end of your road and back, a little bit every day. Move, do something more than you did before. We're all guilty. You know, I feel like sometimes when I talk about these different things, I'm equally as guilty as you listeners, you know, that I'm saying all these things, but I don't always do these things. But I will have you know that I average 7 miles a day walking while in New Orleans. Beautiful, beautiful place. So, and beautiful weather. We got really lucky. So with that being said, I just want to be able to bring a couple things to mind. Please get out there and vote. I think if you're doing mail-in voting, you only have one more day. Please check, excuse me. Please check your voter registration and make sure it's accurate. I don't trust anything these days with the way, you know, all these things about voter registration and blocking voter registration and having people at the polls to harass other people. That's all coming from the MAGA side, not regular ordinary Republicans and Democrats. But, you know, make sure that your vote counts this year. Register to vote. Get out and vote. This is going to be the craziest election that we have ever seen. And we are a month away, not even a month, less than a month away. So please, people, as I said earlier in the show, do your due diligence. If you are a smart, educated person, you will not believe the crap that you see on Facebook and some of these other websites. Go to the official websites. If it sounds like it's bashing, 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 then it's probably a bunch of BS. So do your due diligence. I mean, the goal right now by the former citizen Donald Trump is to tear us apart. I feel like every day he talks, he's attacking you and me. He's attacking every single one of us out there. It just amazes me. There's never kindness in his words, ever, ever, ever. He is constantly degrading people, calling people names. Is this the type of person you want sitting at your dinner table? Is this the type of person you want your daughter dating? Is this the type of person that you want to set as an example for your children? If you say yes to those questions, then please don't listen to me anymore. Don't even listen to my shows because I don't want to know you. Because I think setting a good example, moving forward in kindness and helping each other. I don't even know what my neighbors vote in my neighborhood unless they have a sign on their lawn. I don't care. They're my neighbors. And we can all agree to disagree. And I'm probably going to be preaching a little bit about the vote for the next couple weeks. So you got to get used to it or just don't listen. Hey, I also wanted to let everybody know about my show that's on Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 called Home Improvement Fix and Facts. And I have an awesome interview tomorrow. Again, during my vacation, former President Jimmy Carter celebrated his 100th birthday on October 1st. Can you believe it? 100 years old. And the man has a legacy that is amazing. His humanitarian legacy of bringing homeownership to homeowners is just amazing, especially during the ongoing housing crisis. So we have the honor of being able to talk with Jeff Turry tomorrow, who is the Vice President, Corporate Social Responsibility and Sustainability at GAF, who works hand in hand with former President Jimmy Carter on Habitat for Humanity. And I cannot wait to talk to him. I have so many questions. And again, they only give me a short window, but I really want to know what Habitat for Humanity is doing to help people. So that is a great interview that we have coming up right around the corner. So make sure you listen. And if you miss any of my interviews, whether here on Tell Me More with Carol Holloway or Home Improvement Fix and Facts on Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9, you can always go to the WWDB website and listen to any of the shows that are there. Now, as my shows are coming to an end, I have made the decision that I might not be following out to the end of the year, possibly, or when my contract ends. I might be taking a break from radio for a while. So I just want to let my listeners know that When that happens, I will let you know, but I'm slowly starting to scale back on my interviews and my shows just because I'm trying hard to retire like so many of us are doing and trying to enjoy our life the way it is. So I'll keep you posted. You know, I just, you know, you work all these years. Like, what do they say? We work how many years, 50 years, 40, 45 years of our life. And then by the time we're ready to retire, we end up collecting our Social Security and then we die or something like that. So I want to be able to enjoy those years too. So I will keep you, my listeners, updated on when my final dates are here on my radio shows, because I will certainly miss it. That's a definite fact. But I think I just need a break for a while, especially after we have such a tumultuous year coming up. That's really going to be tough for us. And then a couple other shows real quick that I have coming up before we end everything out. I have, this is really going to be a fabulous interview. I just have to set the date because I really want to be able to do this show. It might be actually one of the last shows that I do here, or second to last, here at Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We are going to be doing an interview with author Maria Ross, and she provides insight from her latest book, The Empathy Dilemma, and how successful leaders balance performance, people, and personal boundaries. And it seems like understanding there are people that have tremendous empathy, and there are people like President Trump who has no empathy for anybody. And I want to have her come on the show and help us understand what empathy is and what it is not, and how it can burn us out, and the myths that people have about empathy and what it actually looks like. She's really an amazing speaker, and I am super delighted that she has agreed to come on our show. I'm trying to just set it up so I can get her live on the show instead of a pre-record. And the name of her book, The Empathy Dilemma, I love the title of that, is why, you know, we all need to have our own house in order before we can be present enough to practice empathy for other people. And I know I'm very empathetic to people. You tell me a sad story, and if you're crying, I promise you, I will cry right along with you. Not everybody has that ability to feel what other people feel and understand what other people understand. But in today's world, which is more divided than it's ever been, we are so less tolerant of each other, which I hate that. And hate is a powerful word. We just aren't taking the time to be kind to each other. People are snapping at each other. There's so much road rage. And empathy for ourselves and for others is really a key to surviving in this highly toxic political climate that we are in right now. So having Maria Ross on the show to talk about her expertise and goals and exercises and things that we can all do is really going to be important. I think that we need that right now here in the world today. So that is a really exciting interview that I have coming up. And I think it'll be really great to have that interview on right around the time of election, either right before or right after the election. And I think it's just something that we all need a little empathy. Not everybody has it. Not everybody is capable of having it. At least that's what I believe. So that's a question that I am really going to be excited to be able to ask her. And then cybercrime, like I said, that's huge. I'm going to be doing that on both of my shows, both Tell Me More with Carol Holloway and Home Improvement Fix and Facts, because there is a lot of information that we need to know and to be aware of, even though I talk about it all the time. to make sure that we are doing everything that we can do as the National Cybersecurity Awareness Month is unfolding during this month of October, along with breast cancer awareness for the month of October. It's important for us to understand the rising threat of cybercrime. So again, I'm going to be spending time on both shows. So with that being said, I thank everybody for listening to me when I get up on my soapbox and when I get off my soapbox. I appreciate that you do listen and that you do send me messages and that you do comment. Make sure you listen tomorrow morning for my interview about Habitat for Humanity, celebrating former President Jimmy Carter's 100th birthday and what they are doing around the country. And I thank you for listening. So, like I always say, make it a good week, pay it forward, do something nice for somebody, and we'll see you back here next week, same place, unless I see you tomorrow or listen to you tomorrow morning on the radio show. So, thank you for listening. Take it out, Tyler. We are done for today. Thanks.
Philadelphia homeowners, to build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly siding.